This is Educating Technology, a podcast about using technology in our schools. Last time, Chris and I discussed a group policy about clearing out old user profiles in some smaller projects we were working on before the Thanksgiving break. This week, Microsoft overtakes Apple for 30 seconds, I buy a new keyboard and mouse and get new Chromebooks, and Chris hates Apple products. What else is new? If you like what we're doing, you can support us by going to patreon.com/educatingtech and becoming a patron. Now, on with the show.
Yeah, once again, I'm changing platforms on us. It's like I keep doing this all the time.
It's okay. I change platforms quite a bit in the beginning.
But it's like we went from using Google Hangouts to record, then we tried Skype, and then we did Rocket Chat, and now we're doing Discord. And I like Discord. We've been using Discord.
I really do like Discord.
We've been using it pretty much all day.
All day.
All day. And I'm actually working on setting up this Discord that we can invite our listeners to participate in conversations with us.
Which is really cool, I think, because feedback is fantastic.
Yes. And anything to make the show better, I guess, and more interactive. Because it's better when it's not just us all the time talking, even though it always has been. But we would love some feedback from other people. So we're working on this Discord channel to invite our listeners. And I think it'll work out pretty well.
I think so, too. Because, I mean, lots of people are on Discord. And if you're not, make an account and get on Discord.
It's a really pretty interesting platform. I've used services. I mean, you set up that Rocket Chat that you were running at your house. It's kind of like it. Does a lot of the similar things. And I've used Slack before, and I like Discord the best out of all of them, except Slack has one feature that I wish Discord would have, and I'm sure they'll probably work it in the future.
What feature is that?
Slack lets you do replies to messages. So say you have a conversation going, and then all of a sudden somebody just interjects with something that's like totally unrelated. You can actually do threaded conversations in Slack, and it opens up kind of like a little window on the right, and you can see all of the threads related to those replies. So it's just kind of neat. It's just a neat little feature.
Well, that's cool.
But other than that, I think it's going to work out pretty well because I like it, and it's pretty, and it's fast, and it's quick, and it's not eating up my CPU to do this call. So,
but that was always part of the fun was this, let's see how much it's taking the Matt's CPU.
Yes, let's see how much my MacBook Pro can handle it. So,
I always thought it was interesting that Apple would put that it was using over 100% of the CPU, which is just not possible. But
yeah, that is kind of weird. So, I mean, I started using Discord because I play this game called Day of Defeat Source, and I joined a realism team that plays realisms against other teams, and they use Discord for communications for the team and like voice chat during the game itself. And I was like, hey, this is kind of neat. It's a gaming platform, but I think it could be used for other things too.
It could. And I mean, it's actually a really easy to use platform. I mean, the fact that anyone can go out there and create their own server on it and with their own group of channels in there is pretty awesome.
Yeah, all you do is you just type in a name and where in the world you want it hosted, and there you go. And you just get an invite code and you can invite all your friends. It's pretty neat. I like it. I like it because I have one platform for everything that I go to. Let's just be honest. It's now, one central location for everything.
So on the bottom of mine, I still have I have Skype open, I have Hangouts open, I have Discord open, and I have Rocket Chat open.
I have Hangouts open, and I have Discord open. That is it. I don't even know if I even need Skype on my computer anymore, to be honest with you.
Well, I have a certain phone number going through it.
Oh, I got you. Rocket Chat isn't on my computer anymore.
That's okay. I mean, it was being hosted on Time Warner Cable, so.
Yes. But it's a pretty neat play. I mean, it paved a way to make us realize that we wanted something else. But obviously, we couldn't have it dependent running at your house because it's
sure
just,
we could.
I mean, we could have, but I mean,
I know the administrator there. He runs a pretty good network.
Yeah, but his upload was kind of bad. So I mean,
yeah, 10 meg wasn't that great.
But yeah, so we're using Discord and we like it, and probably keep using it for a while until one of us changes something else. So.
I mean, as of late, it's going to be you right now.
Yeah, because I'm the one that keeps bouncing between things. I was like changing the way we were doing the show planning and everything else. And then I went back to the way we were doing the show planning. And so now I'm just like, I just need to quit.
But, well, next we'll try talk. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but speaking of gaming, you have a keyboard that is really loud.
It is really loud. In fact, I'm not allowed to use it while we're on the show.
No, you're not. You know, no. So I bought me one. I don't think it's as loud as yours, but I bought me one.
No.
Because I need to get better with my rifle skills on my game. And part of being good with rifle skills is being able to do something called counter-strafe, which means there's a thing in the server. The way the dynamics of the game works, it's like if you're strafing left or right, when you let go of the key, you still move like a little bit, you know, just like you would like in real life. Like if you're going side to side, like, and you decide to want to stop, your body still moves a little bit before it actually finishes. It's not when your brain decides that stop, it's not going to stop right then. There's still some nerves that need to fire and things still move. So the game is kind of built the same way. And now there is things in the server settings that you can to turn that off, but the server I play on doesn't turn those off. They want it kind of realistic, hence the realism aspect of the game. And so to counter strafe, that's a game that Day of Defeat's actually built on. To counter strafe, when you're strafing left to right, if you want to stop instantly, because you're more accurate with your rifle when you're stopped instead of moving, and which makes complete sense. But so if you're strafing left to right, if you tap the key on the other direction, you will basically kind of instant stop. It's just kind of like a thing in the game, the way it works. So my mushy little magic keyboard that I play on just isn't cutting it. So I bought me a mechanical keyboard to maybe increase my accuracy and the ability to do that. So it wasn't expensive. So, I mean, it's okay.
No, and this brand is really, really economical, right? Yeah, Red Dragon. That's
yeah,
the brand,
Red Dragon 602, 502, something like that. I don't know. I'll put a link in the show notes to the, and of course, if I'm going to buy a new keyboard, I have to buy a new mouse that matches it and goes with it. Yeah.
Now you could get the Red Dragon Vara with the nice blue mechanical keys.
No, that's okay. It's too loud. And the reason why, one of the reasons why I picked this keyboard is because I don't know if it's just because of the way the keyboard is made or if it's designed this way, but a lot of mechanical keyboards, the keys are like real tall.
Yeah, it's part of the buckling spring design.
I'm used to typing on the Magic Keyboard, which has like short keys, so the key travel distance is not as tall or is shorter. And so the Red Dragon that I bought, I really should get the name if I can do two things at once here. The keys on it are not very tall, so I hope it's a K502 is what it is.
Cool.
And I'll put a link to the show notes. And the M601 wired mouse is the one that I got, so I'll put links to those in the show notes if anybody cares. This is just me spending money. But I got it for like an Amazon Lightning deal, so I got it for like $5, $10 off, something like that. So I pay like $20 for it. It's not bad. And I'll give it a shot. And so I'm thinking the key travel distance will be more like I'm used to. Because I tried to plug in a Dell keyboard that I had that was like a normal keyboard. And I was trying to play, and it was like the keys were too tall that my fingers couldn't even use them. It was really weird. You get so used to typing on a short little keyboard. It's like I'm used to my fingers not having to go very high to get to the next key. And so now you throw in these like keys that are like three times taller than what I'm used to.
Yeah.
It really threw my game off.
See, and I'm on a Vara K550, and I even lift the back end up. So I got the tall keys plus the angle going and the nice loud mechanical clicks. Love it.
I like the angle, so I'm hoping mine will have some tilt to it. But so I'm kind of, it all comes in Friday, so I'm looking forward to trying it out this weekend.
Speaking of companies we like, Microsoft dethroned Apple.
Yeah, for like 20 minutes.
I mean, I think it's happened a couple of times since then, though.
Well, I mean, the first time I saw it, I saw it was like it was up for like 5 or 10 minutes, and it said Microsoft dethroned Apple as the most valued company. And then it was like, well, Apple did some stuff with their stock, and now they're back on top. And now,
let's look right, and we'll do it live right now. Microsoft's market cap is $850 billion. So let's do AAPL. Apple's is 852. So long term, Apple's going to be dethroned.
Yeah, I think so, eventually.
I would hope so. I mean, it's not like Microsoft hadn't been around for a little while, doesn't have a large customer base.
Or they'll split stocks and do some magic and make it make it back where they're on top.
Make some mushy magic.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was just a very interesting
It was very cool to see because it's been a long time since Microsoft stocks made it in the news.
So, yeah. And
they just don't.
It's because they're doing some pretty cool things now. It's because
Azure is kicking tail.
This new CEO that they got, well, he's not new anymore. He's been there for a few years now. But I think he's pushing that company in the right direction. So.
Oh, yeah. Nutella's good.
He just needs to get rid of the Surface Dock. That's all he needs to do. Just get rid of the Surface Dock.
Hey, they've released some really cool Surface products while he's been there. I mean, so yeah, they've done good things.
Yeah, I think so.
Ballmer did wonderful things. I mean, Ballmer's responsible for the Xbox existing. We do have to remember that.
Yeah.
So yeah, go Ballmer. But he did throw chairs and like yell things all the time. So
developers.
I know. I loved it. I mean, he was like the go-to let's make fun of somebody in technology guy.
Yeah. And now he owns like the Clippers or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just glad he's
But you know,
there.
But we also get to attribute the Surface RT to Ballmer too.
We do. But you know what? They're doing the same thing now. They're just doing it right.
Yeah, they're doing
ARM
it a lot better.
Hardware's available now that can actually do these things.
Yeah. And in other Microsoft news, it looks like Office is going to rebrand itself.
Yeah, we new icons, right?
Yeah, which, you know, it's a long time coming. Let's just be honest. It needs a refresh. But I mean,
I find it hilarious that they released a video so dramatic for icons.
I loved it. I mean, I teared up a little bit. I mean, I thought it was great.
I mean, it's like, if you wouldn't have done the video, I might not have noticed.
Well, I don't think they've actually pushed them out yet. And so it makes me wonder, it's like, why are they deciding to do this now when Office 2019 just came out? Why didn't they do it before 2019 came out?
Well, you remember they announced not too terribly long ago that they're switching the focus of Office away from the universal platform, their own platform, into Android, iOS, Mac, and Windows. They're kind of ignoring the Win32 kind of Windows. They're kind of ignoring their universal platform that they created, which I thought was a phenomenal platform. Just no developers did anything with it.
Yeah, that's part of Nutella's thing. It's like he wants Windows and Microsoft everywhere. And so that's why you're seeing Office on the iPad and Chromebooks and Android. And to be honest, it's a phenomenal product.
It's great. And I'm running Microsoft Launcher and everything on my Android phone. I mean, they've got some really good software now.
I mean, it's just really, I mean, it actually, you actually can integrate it with Dropbox as one of your file shares.
Which is heresy to me, but okay.
I know. It's like, so you get OneNote and SharePoint, gross. And then, and Dropbox. And so it's kind of interesting. And of course it can access the Files app to load local stuff too. So.
Of course. And you know, I wonder when they're actually going to do Wunderlist integration in Office.
I wonder what they're going to get rid of to use Wunderlist, because you know,
I wonder.
Yeah, Wunderlist is actually, because you got to say it like German, Wunderlist. But they bought a calendar app, Sunrise, I think, a while back.
Yeah, didn't they like just kill it though?
They rolled it into Outlook, is what they did.
So that's where the calendar feature came from.
Yeah, so it got a lot better because they bought Sunrise and they rolled it into Outlook. And so I'm wondering if eventually Wunderlist is not going to get rolled into Outlook as the task manager, because you know there's tasks in Outlook.
Which would make perfect sense. I mean, there's no sense at not integrating.
Yeah, but I mean, just rebrand it Wunderlist by Microsoft or something and just leave it as it is, you know?
Well, they're probably scared to, just because there's people that would be like, I'm using a Microsoft product.
Well, I'm sure the GitHub people are saying the same thing.
Hey, I did set up a repository for myself at the house after they bought it because I didn't know how it was going to go.
I think it's going to go just like it is.
I do too.
I don't think they're going to touch it. The only thing I'm a little disappointed that they're killing is Hockey app.
Hockey? I don't even know what that one is.
It's a way to distribute beta apps. It's a Microsoft thing. It was something that you, it's kind of like Test Flight for Windows in a way.
Was it only on an Apple or something?
No, it was on Windows. I mean, you could download. You can actually get anything on Hockey app.
Hockey app. Like with a stick.
Yeah. And I think it's going away. And then they got rid of like Codeplex or something that they did. They had.
Well, Codeplex was Google. But Hot App Center, the future of Hockey app. I've never heard of this.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It was a way to do beta testing.
I see this art. I remember this artwork. Did this come out right when Windows 10 did?
Yeah, it's not too old, but it's been around for a little while. So, I mean, it's pretty neat. I mean, I used to run. That's how I was on the. That's how I got the new version of the Microsoft Remote Desktop app for Mac was through Hockey App, because they did a beta test for it. And so, I guess it kind of went away because I think they could do the cheat of sideloading. Apps on iOS. I mean, they say that you can't sideload apps on iOS, but you really can sideload apps on iOS.
I guess if you have the developer certificate.
Yeah, if you install an enterprise profile, it will actually install apps. I have an app that I actually have to use here at the school that I have to push out with an enterprise app, with an enterprise profile, which is kind of dumb. It's a cheating way to not use the App Store. I'm very disappointed in that company for doing it that way.
Well, but what app is it?
It's something called Tango or something like that. Something with some... RTI testing, I think, since Renaissance isn't doing it anymore.
Maybe it was something about information they weren't allowed to share with Apple that they were going to have to if they went through the App Store.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe because it would have to hold all the student data and just all that other stuff.
Yeah, well, I'll give them, there's got to be a reason because that's a lot of effort.
Or they're just lazy and didn't want to pay the $100. I mean, that could be the answer.
there's got to be more to it than that.
But yeah, but
got to.
But what is it? What is that thing that Microsoft had? The Windows 7 USB Toolmaker tool was hosted there. Code something other that they had.
Code Plex was. Oh, what was?
You know what
now
I'm talking
you're
about.
You're driving me crazy now.
I know.
I got to find it.
You know what I'm talking
Maybe
about.
Maybe it was Code Plex.
It was Code.
Yeah, that
something.
Was Code Plex. What was Google's called?
I don't know.
Probably just Google Code. Let's
probably.
Be honest. There. Yeah, it was. Google Code. Yeah, they're not creative.
Yeah, CodePlex was a place that I used to go get some tools that people would host there. And so.
Yeah, the only problem with CodePlex is they didn't support Git protocol, which I think they only supported like SVM and Team Foundation.
Yeah, well, now they don't have to worry about it because they own GitHub. So, I mean.
I'm saying the Git protocol is open source and Microsoft doesn't even really. Team Foundation and anymore internally even it's all Git,
yeah,
which is great.
So we're getting a rebranded office and
yeah,
I'm looking forward to some new icons because you know how I care about how things look and they look great. I think the icons look pretty snazzy.
They do.
For all three of them
out of the 80s.
All three of them that I'll have on my computer.
All three.
All three.
Word,
Excel, and PowerPoint. That's it.
PowerPoint.
I almost don't even want PowerPoint. But on my Windows VM, there's only Excel and Visio. That is it. This is the only things on there, and Excel is only there because like if I need to edit a CSV file
and you see I do it in LibreOffice because it doesn't do the annoying chop off the leading zeros by default.
Oh, that is the worst now that you mention
stop
that
doing
is,
it guys.
That is terrible. I mean there's ways that you can like format the cell to be able to but
if you ever make any changes it'll do it again.
Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous, but
yeah.
So I think that for that reason, I think that's when we dropped when we use student IDs for anything that we use Excel for. That's the reason why we dropped the leading zeros. I think is because Excel just couldn't handle it. So, but yeah. So yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I got some other crazy news for you though. Speaking
What's
of
that?
Internet companies. Amazon's making processors now.
That was just a matter of time. They're making everything. They make 9-volt batteries.
Course.
They make lightning cables. They make USB cables. They make backpacks.
they're called Graviton, which that's a cool name. But the performance per core is only twice that of a Raspberry Pi. So it's not really high performance. They can put more cores in there, of course, but it's their first iteration of it.
Yeah, it'll get better.
It'll get a lot better, but I cannot see Amazon varying too far from the actual ARM spec that they license because that's just not their specialty. They mean, yeah, they've designed platforms and whatnot, but they're not really a processor design company.
You think they're
not a hardware company.
You think they're doing that to put them in the fire line?
Well, what was it? They had this other product. Now it's going to drive me crazy. What was it? They just open sourced it. Amazon serverless computing, blah blah blah. It was called, where did it go? Firecracker. So they just open sourced this, and I think this is part of it. It's their own contain. I don't really understand exactly what it is. It kind of container, kind of VM, kind of nothing, where they could stand up new instances within like 100 nanoseconds.
Isn't that what Amazon is in general? Kind of this, kind of that, kind of nothing.
Exactly. I mean, I guess that's a really good way to describe them.
It's kind of a bookstore. It's kind of a clothing store. It's kind of a pharmacy. Now they're selling vitamins. And then sometimes you just can't find nothing there that you need. I mean, so it's the story of Amazon.
Let's see. Here, you can launch lightweight micro virtual machines, micro VMs, in a non-virtualized environment in a fraction of a second. Well, first off, they just said they're launching micro virtual machines in a non-virtualized environment. So, I mean, it's kind of nothing then, I guess.
Yeah, that is it's interesting.
A very interesting platform, but they did open source it, which is going to lead to a lot of innovation in it. Because that's just what happens. Let's start the ball rolling. And let's give it away and see what everybody does with it.
It's like, we're tired of paying for this and not getting anywhere. So let's just let the Germans mess with it and they'll figure it all out.
Yeah, but I imagine they're going to be using these to spin up a lot of those instances. Because if it's a serverless architecture and they're just spinning them up and down, up and down. Because that was the thing, it would grow and the service would grow and shrink as you needed it with these microservices. And if you don't need a lot of computing power for a lot of time, well, yeah, let's throw these low power ARM processors at it and not have to pay for the power consumption of x86.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, Amazon's going to be the next company that does just about everything, you know?
Well, I thought they did.
Well, they do. But,
they will not buy my kidney still, though.
I'm sure they will eventually.
You list it on the market, they take it down every time.
Oh, that's always fun.
Well, I mean, he was saying that the other benchmarks in this thing were kind of like a Snapdragon 835, which is good performance. I mean, but we're pretty far past that. I mean, the A12X is way past that.
Yes, and it is.
But
super
Amazon
fast.
Did part. Oh yeah, it
doesn't
is.
Sell, I mean, but it's super fast.
Well, hence they go back to iPhone X's, but that's neither here nor there, right?
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
No, but they did sign an agreement, of course, with AMD to do EPYC stuff. So I mean, they're not leaving the high performance sector; they're just expanding sectors.
Yeah, I mean, they'll just,
which is cool.
They'll put somebody else out of business. I mean, Toys R Us is gone, Sears is gone. David's bridal is about to be gone. I mean, so it's, get a wedding dress at Amazon. So, but yeah. So what's been? So we're back from Thanksgiving. How's your week been?
It's been extremely busy.
You know, I don't want to jinx anything, but
then don't say it.
Yeah, but I'm going to anyway. The cycle that I've always experienced in the past has been the week before Thanksgiving is kind of slow. And that's when you can kind of catch up on some little projects and, of course, not start anything major because you don't want to leave it for a week. And then you're gone for a week. And then when you come back, it's like crazy busy because apparently everything breaks when you're not here. Apparently that's just what happens. But, you know, it's been kind of the opposite this year. I mean, things haven't been that bad here this week. And I've kind of enjoyed it because I've had to do 60 Chromebooks to get ready and get ready to deploy.
Hey, maybe next time you'll have one of those little thumb drives to do it for you.
Yes, I am. I am going to get one of those little Arduinos that you mentioned, and I'm going to run the little project that you sent a link to. And I'm going to try
it's
to build
way better than my spaghetti code. So
yeah, I'm going to build a little thing to automate the enrollment process of a Chromebook. I tried to get a company that actually makes a device come on the show and actually talk about it, but I guess I didn't ever hear back from them. So that just didn't work out. Pretty neat little device. It could do like 16 at one time. I mean, it's pretty neat because with the little one that I'm going to build, you can only do like one at a time. So you just build multiple. So, and I really only do two at a time anyway when I'm sitting here at my desk. And that's what I've discovered. Like during the summer, I'll stretch out over the cafeteria tables and I'll do like four at a time. I find to be a little bit more efficient and faster just doing two at a time sitting in my desk here. I don't know why.
Well, it's because you get less interruption.
It's like I'd get 12 unboxed and I'd do 12. And then I'd go unbox some more and then I'd do those. And just do a little bit at a time and I just get them all done. So, and it was next to my radio and everything else. So I can just kind of sit here, listen to some music, and just get it done. It's kind of like a little assembly line thing I had going on. Tag, enroll, close down. So now I just got to wire the carts up. So that's always the fun job.
Yeah, I hate that part. I mean, pulling the cables. How many zip ties do you do per cord?
I don't really do any because the carts we buy, they got these things in the top, like these little metal tabs. And so you run your cable and then your thumb's tired by the end of it, but you smash up this little metal piece and the cable doesn't come out. And so it's great. It's an Avercart. I don't know the model number, but it's
actually
like,
I have that cart. It's kind of got this arm that lifts up and you put the cable under it and stuff.
No, not that one.
Okay.
But that sounds a little bit better.
Yeah, that one because I still ran zip ties on top of it because the piece doesn't lock down. Anyone can lift it up.
Oh, that's kind of weird. But no, these are like, they got this little basket things in the back and you run your little cables through the little metal clip things at the top and then you smash them in and then they don't really move once you get them set. I hadn't really had a problem with them. Not like the first Avercarts we had where they had like the little plastic clips on the little dividers and they just didn't really stay in the clips and you ended up having to use little bitty zip ties and that's just a nightmare.
See, well, that's actually, I use an Ergo cart that has the kind of the track you kind of weave in and out of and then the front you put a zip tie on so it doesn't come out.
That's not bad. It's not bad at
all.
And
depending on where it's going, I also put one in the back.
I would pay extra for them to come wired with stuff and then give you like things on the end that you can change the end on to plug into like different devices. I would pay extra for that.
I probably wouldn't though.
Well, you're cheap.
I don't even pay for assembly of the cart.
Yeah, well, I just don't bring me a cart that I have to put together because I'll just look at it and be like, I don't know what to do. It's like, well, you know those universal power adapters that you can get and you can change the tips on? It's like, just send them with that. It's like, in Lock and Charge, we buy these boxes to hang on the wall.
Lock and Charge makes some cool stuff.
Lock and Charge actually... Well, the last one we bought, they didn't come with it. But the ones we bought before then, they actually came with the lightning cables already, like, pre-wired in there. I'm like, heck yeah, I've got some extra iPad chargers because iPad chargers are the best. Throw the iPhone ones away. Keep the, like, 2.1 amp ones and get rid of those little 1 amp ones. Those are terrible. And so I got some extra one of those and some extra lightning cables. But, like, the bigger carts for the iPads that we have, I've had to wire those up with the cables that come with the iPads. And, you know, out of all the Apple devices, the lightning cables are the most unreliable thing they've ever made. They're just terrible. Unless you buy the 6-foot one, the 6-foot one's made better than the 3-foot one. I don't know why. It's a little bit thicker, a little bit more sturdy, but the one that comes with the devices is just a terrible cable. It wears out first. It'll be the first thing to go. So, but yeah, well, putting in more Chromebooks.
Speaking of some assembly required, though, I did have one more thing. Actually, I have two more things in the news that I wanted to mention. I don't know if anybody knows what VIOS is.
Probably not.
But it used to be known as Viata, which is, it's actually a platform a lot of companies use for their routing stuff. Well, they're making it a little more difficult unless you contribute to it to get it now. So there's going to be some assembly required. You're going to have to build your own version of it unless you can prove that you are contributing to the project now or pay. And yeah, it makes me sad because I really like VIOS. And
isn't there that audio editor that's kind of the same way? It's like, it's an open source.
Oh, Ardor. Yeah, Ardor.
It's open source, but you have to pay $5 to get full features or something like that. I mean, it's...
Well, you have to pay $5 for pre-built binaries.
Yeah, and so, I mean, so there's that too. So I guess that's a common thing.
Because they're really complicated, tough programs that people demand stability on. But they don't want to pay for it or pay for support for it or anything. So I get the move. And I'm kind of interested to see where it goes on this project because they are used in a lot of things. They used to be part of Brocade back in the day. And yeah, a lot of people use this as a base to build virtual switches. And heck, I've even used it to make switches at the house just to play with for testing. I mean, it's a great OS.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it is. Oh, and speaking of network equipment, I found an obscure bug in Ubiquiti's EdgeMax line, which had me boggling. I was just boggled with it. It took me forever to figure it out.
Yeah, because you actually sent me a message like, what does this mean? I was like, I don't know. I've never seen that before.
I know, exactly. So what was happening is I had some iPads that were part of our MDM, and I told them to go download and install the iOS update. Because that's just what you do.
Isn't that the best, too? Just being able to tell it to remotely install it?
Unless you do this, but... So, every one of my iPads were in error. They would download it just fine. And then they would go to install it, and it would go to verify the image, and it would say, no internet connection found. It's like, what the hey? So I went into the internet filter and was like, okay, absolutely nothing is getting blocked on here. What's going on? Hey, Matt, have you seen this before?
Nope. What is it?
Nope. So apparently, whatever Apple is doing to verify the image in deep packet inspection looks like UltraSurf.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's very interesting. It's, so it's like, what are they obfuscating to do verification to appear like UltraSurf? And it's not like it just appeared like a generic proxy, because I actually don't block every proxy because things false positive. I was only blocking the UltraSurf signature, and it was picking it up.
That is kind of interesting. Unless they're doing something to kind of like hide their code or something.
I don't know. I'm really curious what they're doing. And if anybody knows the answer to that, I would love to hear an explanation. Are they actually using an UltraSurf type technology to connect to Apple servers to get hashes of verification?
I wonder, overkill. I wonder if it's trying to access a server that it doesn't really want people to know about. And so if it proxies that traffic through something else, maybe people won't be able to access that server that it's actually communicating with. Maybe there's something on there.
And this happened to me, what was it, yesterday?
Yes.
So, yeah, you know I'm going to be tearing it apart tomorrow because that's what I do.
Obviously.
Yeah, we're going to have some packet captures, and we're going to tear apart some traffic.
Fire up the Wireshark.
Heck yeah. Well, I actually need to get the unencrypted traffic, so I need to go get to the piece in the internet filter that is decrypted. So.
Oh, so you got to fire up that part too, huh? So that means you got to push out a certificate to the device to be able to trust it.
Yep. I've already pushed out the certificates and stuff. I haven't enabled it yet because I've been trying to get everything stable here before I started doing things like that.
Yes, always.
Because I don't need to chase other rabbits.
Yes,
at the same time.
If you do any kind, if you're wanting to start any kind of SSL decryption, make sure that you push out your certificates first, because bad things will happen.
Yeah.
So, in fact, I had to change my certificate because I thought I was having a problem, and it ended up not being the SSL decryption. It ended up being something else. It ended up being the SAML sign on for the filter, which wasn't even enabled, but. There was,
that's hilarious.
And so it was breaking YouTube. I think we talked about this on the show before. And so they told me, it's like, well, you're using an old certificate. You need to generate a new one. I'm like, and I just sort of hung my head. And I was like, do you know what's all that's going to require?
Why are you doing this to me?
And so it's like, I did that. It took me, it's like, I deployed it and I waited like 2.5 weeks. And I was like, if you ain't got it by now, if you haven't turned your iPad on by now for it to communicate to the management server, you need to bring it back. Because you're not using it. And so I had to push it out to Chromebooks and iPads and Windows desktops and the few machines that I've had to manually install the certificate on here and there, like the AC controller and things like that. And I'm like, I don't ever want to do this again. But I'll have to in like 12 years when the certificate expires. So.
12 years. That's what I was like. I was like, how long can I make this valid? Okay.
It's like I picked when I was installing System Center. It's like, how long is your license good for? 2040.
Yes. I did the same thing. I'm going to be dead before I have to worry about redoing that.
So, yeah, it's just like, I just don't want to deal with it. And I have another certificate that expires in like 2037 for something. I don't remember what it is, but.
Put it on your calendar. Yeah. You don't want to miss it.
Oh, man, what was that for? Oh, man. I don't even remember.
I really don't think you have to worry about it.
Yeah, I don't have to. But no, I did have to worry about it because when I redid my computer, I broke the enrollment of iPads using Configurator because I didn't reinstall the supervision profile from Jamf, and the supervision profile certificate I used, it expired in 2037.
So, question.
Yeah.
When are you moving to the host of Jamf?
When I get over being a control freak.
You're already not controlling it. Apple is.
I know.
So, I mean.
But it's like, here's the thing. We had an application we were using before that we're not using now. It's called Think Through Math. Think Through Math was hosted in Amazon. The filter out of the Clear Blue one day decided to start blocking it because it was being categorized as Amazon traffic, as shopping traffic. And that's where Jamf is hosted, is Amazon Web Services. And so I don't ever want to be in the situation where AWS, I mean, I don't want my MDM to break because the filter screws up.
But you also got to think about this. Where is Apple's stuff hosted.
On their own stuff?
No, it's not.
But it all comes from their IP addresses, though. Even if it's
not on their own stuff.
I know it's not on their own stuff, but it all comes from their IP addresses. It all comes from network.
What I'm getting at, though, is, I mean, everything is hosted somewhere else at this point.
Oh, well, I know. I get it.
Nobody's running their own data centers. It's kind of like trying to host your own email. It's just not cost effective.
I get it. And I probably ought to move to it, but I think the on-premise might actually be a few dollars cheaper than the hosted.
Hey, well, then I'm game.
And then it gave me a reason to buy a Mac Mini so I could do iCloud caching. Not iCloud, iTunes caching, so that I could cache iOS updates so that one machine the Mac Mini downloads them, caches it when one machine asks for it, and then all the other ones download from me as opposed from the internet. And the same goes with like apps and everything else that comes from the iTunes store. Anything that, in the way it's set up, it goes through like DNS. And so basically anytime something from our public IP addresses reaches out to Apple to download something from the iTunes store, their device gets it. And then for the first time, their device gets it, but then also my caching server will grab it. And so that if anybody,
which is awesome.
So it's like everybody's updating their Snapchat app from me as opposed from sending all that bandwidth out to Apple. And so it gave me a reason. And yes, you can run Jamf on Windows. I don't recommend it because it could end up being a disaster.
Isn't it just Java anyway?
Yeah, it's just Java anyway, but it's like it's iOS management and Mac management. Just to me, it seems like it would run better on a Mac. And so, but that's it's kind of twofold. I think it was a little cheaper, and I could be wrong about that. It could be opposite. I could be paying more for on-premise. I don't know. Or they might switch the pricing to kind of push people to the hosted. And you know, I really ought to go to the hosted because it seems like every time I install an update, I'm calling support about something because something tore up. But at this point too, I don't know how the migration process would go.
It's probably really smooth. I can't imagine it not being.
Well, I know.
You probably just have to repoint those DNS records that are going to your MDM up to theirs.
And I know. But I'm just worried about, like, the certificates and MDMs. I mean, you break one certificate, the whole thing is hosed. I mean, so I just worry about things like that. And I'm sure they have a process to make it work where they can basically replicate my environment up there so it just basically looks the same. But, you know, I'm fine with it being here. The iPads don't leave here, and so there's not really a need for it to be hosted. But I do actually have mine set up to where it can work over the internet. So I have the ports open that Jamf needs to communicate with iPads. Like if a principal or something brings it home and they call me on a weekend, hey, I need this app installed, I can throw it down to them and they'll get it from wherever they're at.
Well, that's cool. Well, one of the things that came into my mind, and it has absolutely nothing to do with it, but I just got to say it to see what your face does. Your caching server reminds me a lot of ISA.
It does. I mean, it really does. And just the good thing is it's just not caching the internet. It's just caching iTunes stuff. And you know,
you remember that product?
Oh, God, it's the worst. It is really bad. Oh, man. That's almost as bad as internet connection sharing.
Oh, gosh.
You remember that school district? It's like this one computer could get on the internet, so that guy set up.
We're not going to name any names, but yes, I remember
it. That guy set up internet connection sharing and made everybody go through that one desktop to get to the internet. So bad.
Oh, but to his credit, it worked.
It worked.
Not very well, but it worked.
It worked. I bet it was so slow. But you know, caching was great when everybody had T1s, you know?
That and when everything wasn't encrypted.
Yeah. But yeah, no kidding. Encryption is really kicking my rear end. I mean, it's just like, I don't care. I mean, it's just let it go.
Just go.
I'm almost tired of it. It's just like, look, it's just, don't use my filters, classroom management. Just watch your kids.
I can see you. Block all ports 443 outbound.
You say that. I tried it. It didn't work too well.
I bet not. On the student network, let's try. Always, let's see what happens.
Or I'm the guy that locks down. I mean, because of my caching thing, everybody has to use my local DNS servers for DNS. Even though when I originally set up my student network, I don't let them access anything locally. And so basically all I did was gave them access to the MPS server, which basically did their authentication. And then I had them pointing using Google DNS for DNS. And so they didn't do anything here. Well, that broke iTunes on everything that was using any other DNS in my local one. And so I had to open up like 53, port 53 to my domain controller so that the student wireless could access DNS through them. So that's a little disappointing, but it is what it is. So, but it comes in handy. You should try it.
No, I'm not going to try any of it. Not going to do any of it.
It'll save a little bit on bandwidth. I mean, you got 15 people there.
You're right, and I just don't want any more Apple products, though.
So. I understand. I got a cart full of Chromebooks. You can have those.
And you know what? We got that recorded. He says he understands not wanting Apple.
I understand. I mean, it's like the whole thing. It's like I was looking into that one thing for a blogging platform, and I was like, I just want to go back to what I know. I mean, it's just you get comfortable doing what you want to do, and you just want to use that stuff. I mean, you find Chrome OS to be more beneficial and iPads to not be. And don't get me wrong, management of iPads is a lot harder than management of Chrome's. I mean, Chrome OS, at least the setup process.
But costly. Yeah. We'll say costly.
But once it's set up and it works, it's golden. I mean, once you do, as long as you don't let your certificates expire. I mean, which there's like three of them, your certificates and your tokens, I guess. That you always have to renew every year, which I just did mine. And I just renewed my Jamf, so. But yeah, so I mean, Google management is a lot easier, but Apple devices are a lot better built, but they're also a lot more expensive. So I mean,
they're just a lot harder to tap on.
Yeah, there's some trade-offs that you have to decide on what's, and we've had that conversation before. You just got to get what's best for your school.
I think my biggest issue with iPad iOS devices is personal. Because whatever they're doing on the digitizer on an iOS device, my fingers don't register. And it's just, it infuriates me when I have to work on one because I have to mash so hard for my fingers to register on that display. It's ridiculous.
It's just, your fingers are weird. You're I know. You're touching it wrong.
It's personal. Yeah. I can't, I'm holding it wrong.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so that can be our show this week.
Well, I do have one more thing. Okay. I'm working on getting a
good, because I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, I'm working on getting another vendor in here and see if they'll come on our show and talk about something that they're doing in Texas with the universities. They're going to be announcing next week a lot of universities that they partnered with, and they'll have some scholarships and whatnot tied into it. Well, I'm not going to say who they are yet until I get the response back from their CEO about it, if I can use them. They're a small company. But, it's going to be something students will be interested in, and it sounds utterly ridiculous when you talk about it, but it's got money tied to it for kids, so how bad can it be?
Hey, money and scholarships for kids are a great thing, because...
Yeah, and especially when it's something that's fun.
Yeah, and as long as if there's anything that anybody can do to help kids graduate college without $150,000 in student loan debt, I mean, anything for that is the better, so...
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and they seemed very positive about it. They just wanted to touch base with the other guy before they gave a go ahead with anything. So, yeah, maybe we'll have a guest.
Maybe so. That'll be fun.
But they're going to have to sign up for Discord.
Oh, yeah, got to use Discord. but that's our show for this week. For links and show notes for this episode, you can visit educatingtech.net/55. You can send us any questions, comments, or concerns to educatingtech@gmail.com or on Twitter with @educatingtech. You can also tweet out using the hashtag #AskEducatingTech, and we can get those because all those get aggregated into a Google Sheet using IFTTT, which is pretty neat. I like that. To see what Chris is up to, you can follow him on Twitter with @Feeks, and I am @TwistofMatt. I'll probably post some stuff about my clacky-clacky keyboard that comes in on Friday, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. And if you like what we're doing, you can support us by going to patreon.com/educatingtech. And probably in the next week or two, we will probably post a link for signups for our Discord. Just want to get a few more things hammered out as far as how I want that to work, make sure permissions are all kosher, and... we'll do that. And so you could join up into our community, and we can build a little community based around our show if that's something you're interested
in. I'm excited about that. I would love to see if Matt will do some video.
You know, you say that.
With people.
You say that. Here's the deal. We have a video production class at our school, and I saw that they had all their fancy lights and their green screen, all that stuff set up. I was like, hey, you could record our podcast. And they're like, yeah, we'll do it. The kids will love that. And I'm like, oh, geez, I shouldn't have opened my mouth.
You opened your, it's too late. I think we should stick with the creepy wall in my office and your brick.
My brick. Well, I'll have to get like a brick texture to do the recording because I'll probably have to be in front of there. Well, they can put me anywhere. They could put me in there with you if they wanted me to.
I just say, let's use our webcams.
So, but yeah, so it might be an interesting project to do with the kids. Probably not though. So I didn't commit to anything because you know me, I have a fear of commitment and lack of ability to make decisions. So
great combination.
I mean, I can't commit to one platform to record a podcast on. So I'm not going to commit to do a video podcast with a group of teenagers. So
yeah, no.
But that's it. We'll see you later, Chris.
And I'll see you later, Matt.